podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Unfortunately, we've run out of time today. Whatever it means for you in your club, we'll talk about that later.
Welcome to another episode of We'll Talk About That Later, a podcast about football. Mostly about opinions, sometimes about facts, depending on who you ask. Since you're here listening to us, subscribe to us on your favorite podcast platform, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Deezer, Google Podcasts, wherever. We are there. And follow us on social media as well. We're on Instagram and Twitter at WTATL Official. And we're also on TikTok at WTATL.podcast. Now, I'm about to tell you what episode we're on. I think we're on episode 111.
Yep.
Welcome, guys. We have a special guest with us today, Tommy from Ifs and Buts podcast.
Hello, hello.
How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, man. You?
We ordered you on Express, innit? Like FedEx you.
Quick things today.
You guys all right?
Yeah, I'm good. I miss Spurs, though.
I
never thought I'd say that, but I miss them.
Yeah, about a week ago, you were saying, I'm so glad we're not playing football
at
the moment.
But it's been two games we've not played. Like, it's boring when your team's not playing football. So, yeah, hopefully we can play this week.
And we are also joined by Abdi.
Hi, who's this?
Man sounds like he's underwater.
Yeah, man, you sort your connection out.
Yeah.
All right,
got something out.
No, bro, you sound like you're swimming or something.
Well, I'm in my room, so okay. I'm clearly not swimming.
We can hear you better now.
Yeah, we can hear
you. You right, Abdi?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks. Is Mark there?
No.
Wow.
Oh, God, here we go.
You know what? Before we even touch on any of the football, I'm just going to ask you to proceed with whatever it is that you're about to come out with. So the table is yours, Abdi. I don't know why I just said the table. The floor is yours.
I wasn't expecting Mark to be there, so... I'm just going to hang up, yeah.
All right. Okay. Well, that was Abdi's contribution.
No, we don't call him Abdi anymore. We call him Sick Note. We call him Sick Note.
Isn't it? Man's not built like us.
Not beta built like that, man.
You try podcast this devil disease, yeah?
Just excuses, man.
I caught COVID, yeah? And the technology with the PCR test is so advanced now that it can actually tell you where you got it. And in the test results I got back, it said COVID was contracted by an individual named Mark.
Oh,
such an idiot, man. I can't believe I actually listened to that.
I actually fell for that.
Waiting for the punchline.
I know, Abdi, I gave you the floor like a whole minute ago. That wasn't quick enough, not sharp enough.
I fell for, oh man, Abdi, man, do better.
You didn't have to give me COVID to take me out in if you're such a hater.
This guy is a loser, man. That's when you should have pressed the button, Tanya.
Oh,
it's too late now.
It's too late.
So let's get straight into it. Our spotlight game, for our guest purposes, is Chelsea versus Leeds. Now, usually on this podcast, I think we've had it once, but we've never really had the Chelsea perspective. So it will be good to get it from you, obviously being a Chelsea fan since you were young. Not one of the ones that jumped on the bandwagon in 2004. So yeah, so it'll be nice to know like what your opinions are, what your hopes are, and just like where you think this team can go under Tuchel or whatever. I don't know. I'm just putting words in your mouth, but
no, it's calm. It's calm. Yeah, no, I think start of the season after last season in Champions League, this year we had to come strong. We have started very strong. Like we weren't performing well, I'd say, at the start of the season, but we were still getting results. Picked up a couple good wins away at Leicester last month. That was a good win. And then now the little slip-ups have started to come in. Now we've had some injuries. I think missing Chilwell and Kante has been massive for us. Alonso, everyone, like, yeah, he's good for a goal every now and then, but...
Hate that guy.
Yeah. He'll score against Spurs next month somehow.
Yeah, that's what I hate.
Somehow.
Exactly.
Probably will.
Abdi calls him Chelsea's best striker.
Honestly. He in the box, he's lethal.
Yeah.
Lethal finisher. But
and to be fair, outside as well, when he takes free kicks and stuff.
Yeah, he's a good asset. But if you want to win the league, I know we won the league under him. But I feel like going up against this City and this Liverpool team, you need to be on it every week. And I just don't think he has that in him.
But that's part of that he's, I mean, obviously he's not there, meant to be there to be starting. I know he had that run at the start of the season, first month or so, where he was first choice. And Chilwell came in, nailed that spot. It's not that bad of a scenario for me when your backup left wing back is someone like Marcus Alonso. But I hear what you're saying in terms of that quality drop off from Chilwell to Alonso is, it's been noticeable, definitely. I've noticed it. Abdi, can you hear us?
Yeah.
I just wanted to, so basically, I would blame this all on Abdi because about three weeks ago, he said that it was impossible to score more than one goal against Chelsea. And then
I think his words were multiple.
Multiple. And then in the three games after that, you conceded 3, 3, and 2, I think. Yeah. So you conceded 8 in the next three. So, Abdi?
Do I get a chance to defend myself? Or
yeah, absolutely.
What?
Go on, please. The table,
as Marcus said, is yours.
Right, edit that.
This is like being me on this podcast. Yeah, you say prediction, and even though I clarified on it, the very next week, this guy, this idiot, who is a Liverpool fan, I've been on my case the whole time. Basically, what I said was, obviously, Chelsea are so strong defensively, play with a back three and they press aggressively from the front. They don't give enough space to the opposition, and you've got midfielders who don't give the ball away, and you've got a world-class goalkeeper. I said, I find it difficult to see. I did say impossible, but then the next week I said, I clarified and I said, it's ridiculous to say impossible because, you know,
This is coming from the guy who brought up that I said Leicester were going to get relegated.
I just want to, so you clarified or you backtracked?
Okay, cool. Tommy, do you know those three sitting next to all said Maguire?
No, Abdi,
I'm not going to draw you out again. Let's chat about the game. Abdi, I'm willing to call a truce for one episode and one episode
only.
No, don't
do it, Mark. Don't do it.
I feel like I need Abdi's presence to really draw him out.
Abdi's shameless. He will come for you whichever way he can. He'll send a text in the chat just to... So, Tommy, to Abdi's point, do you think the defence is probably Chelsea's best asset, or is that something that you're... Because I've seen Chelsea fans are a bit frustrated that your team doesn't attack enough. But what is it to you?
I'd say, when he came in January, he highlighted that our defence was not strong enough. So he made that stronger by playing a system that suits our defensive players. But on the flip side of that, it doesn't bring out the best of our attacking players. And I think in certain games, we've played well, but we just don't have that killer instinct. And I think... when you have Kante in front of the back three, back five, and Jorginho in the form he's been in, I know we had a couple slip-ups lately, but our defence has been very strong. I wouldn't say we're a defensive team, because you look at the chances we create when we was in that run of form with James and Chilwell. They were basically wingers. And then we was winning the ball back so high. But last few weeks, and again on the weekend, just a bit sluggish and looking like we're... The injuries have been catching up, because we have been missing some big players for the last couple months now.
So what would you say about the attack? Because obviously you signed Lukaku in the summer. You've got Havertz, you've got Pulisic, you've got Ziyech, you've got just a whole number of players. So to say that you're lacking a bit of cutthroat up front, what would you say to that?
Yeah, I don't know, just these players, they just can't find a consistent amount of form. Like Pulisic will come in, have 5-6 games, get a couple goals, and he's out for 2 months. Ziyech as well, similar, will come off the bench, might not do well, but he'll pop up with a goal. Lukaku, come in, and I was like, all right, this is going to be it. The game against Arsenal,
game changer.
The game against Villa, you're looking like, this is where, this is going to be the game changer for us. But and then he's been injured. Werner, but he still got the most goals and assists for us last season. And when you put into the numbers that Ziyech, Pulisic, when you see the numbers that the others got, compare them to him, you think, he actually didn't do too bad. But
do you think
still.
There's a case of, so when you look at, let me just, Liverpool's front three is very settled and played together very, very consistently. Obviously Jota and Firmino is whoever is fit and on form at the time, but with Chelsea it's literally three of seven or eight every week, and it's never really the same three consistently, yeah. And they don't build up that type of
that relationship, chemistry,
Do you think that's an issue, or are you? Is it better for you that all of that talent is getting chances?
It's a hard one because, like, there is so many talented players, and you do want to see them on the pitch, but for these players, they need to be playing week in, week out. You imagine Salah when he was on that run. All right, you're not going to play for three games because someone else is, like, Shaqiri's going to play for two games.
Yeah,
you just need to find that consistency. But at Chelsea, if you don't score within three or four games, you're holding bench because someone else can come in and do it.
Is it the problem that, because you mentioned like Salah and Shaqiri, but obviously there's a massive drop off in quality there. Even though Shaqiri's a good player, decent player, but when you're talking about Chelsea, is it that the players are quite similar? Like, you've got Ziyech, Pulisic. Obviously, they offer different things, but the quality isn't so much of a drop off. It's like they're all Chelsea are blessed, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
to say the least, yeah.
Yeah, we are blessed with the talent that we have, but these players, especially, they come in purple patches in the season. Like that, when I think back to Pulisic, that when we got the Champions League under Lampard, he after the lockdown, he was quality, but he hasn't really found that since then. Every now and then, he'll have a good game, and you think, we want to see this week in, week out. Yeah. And I think that's what's lacking in just a lot of our players. They can't find a run of 6 to 10 games where they're scoring, playing well. Mount's kind of on a little run at the moment, and I'm hoping that can continue because I think he is our best attacker. When he plays, we're a better team. He might not produce the numbers that a lot of people want him to produce, but he's just so key to how we play. Yeah. And I think he's showing that the last few weeks, definitely.
Do you think the Pulisic specifically, that run that he was on that you mentioned, do you think that was more conducive to, I wouldn't say like Lampard himself, but like the way that you played under Lampard, which was a bit more freer?
Yeah.
And whereas under Tuchel, you're a bit more constricted to that defensive like backbone, and then let's not concede, we'll get a goal, that kind of play.
Yeah, and I think for under Lampard, he was like, we want to get the best out of the attacking players. And then that's why we were so open at the back. Because under Lampard, we were, that Liverpool game, I remember that 5-3.
Yeah. 5-3 final game.
That was like, we were just like, cool, we're going to concede, but we're going to go and try and score as well. Yeah, it was nice to see. And you did see the best out of Hudson-Odoi, Pulisic, little glimpses, and that run Pulisic went on. But yeah, now it's a bit more reserved. Teams know how we're going to set up. So they sit behind, try and match us, and that doesn't give him the space to impact the game. I think he's better off the bench when we play teams like that, because his speed and agility and the way he can nip past people is quality. But I think from the start, sometimes he can struggle against that low block. And that's where Tommy, I thought Lukaku would come in and help, but hasn't yet.
Tommy, say your preferred front three.
Ooh. There's a lot of players to choose from.
Yeah.
There is. I think
spot for choice.
I think Mount has to be in there. I would play Timo, and then you and then Lukaku down the middle. If all fit, I think Werner just adds a different dimension to our game. He wants to stretch the game, where Pulisic, Ziyech, Havertz, Mount, they want to come towards the ball, and sometimes we do need someone just to stretch the game. And he does worry defenders. Like, up against Ruben Dias in the Champions League final, he had him on the ropes a couple of times. He played City last year, just to pace him behind. And I think that's sometimes what we need, just an outlet ball, because Lukaku's not going to run into the channels. He can hold it up, flick it on. And I think just trying to find a way where we can get the best out of them two is going to be key from now until the end of the season.
There was glimpses where it looked good against Zenit in the Champions League.
Little glimpses. Again, like, the quality is not, that's not who we're going to be playing every week. That was, it was a good sign first game back. And then I would have thought he would have gone with the same again on the weekend, but Lukaku come on last 10 minutes. Hopefully on Thursday against Everton, obviously we've been struggling lately, that'll be a good time to get some confidence in, because Timo looked sharp against Zenit, but and then against Leeds, just look Timo again. That's the only thing.
Let's talk about the game. So Leeds are that team that, you know, this season, I think everyone thinks like you can definitely score against Leeds. They don't look like
guaranteed.
Like, they don't look like the team that are gonna score many goals, like they did last season, but they look like a team that will concede goals. So how did you feel coming into the game, and like when Leeds took the lead, like how did you feel, like, because they started well.
Yeah, they did start well. I think coming into the game, you do just expect a win at home.
Yeah.
With Chelsea. Nice, like you're going into the game, albeit we've come off a couple sticky results, so you're thinking, all right, Leeds out of form, missing Phillips, missing Bamford. You're thinking, yeah, this is a, you should go and win this game comfortably. And then, yeah, they got the penalty, 1-0. You're thinking, all right. I still thought we'd go on to win. Mm-hmm. At no point did I think we was going to lose that game or drop points. But when they get that equaliser, I'm like, cool. But best friend in the world, Tony Rudiger, comes out with some heroics on the weekend. He did not want to lose.
He was involved in everything.
Mate,
everything.
He's a beast, that guy.
Everything. Since Tuchel come in the last 12 months or 11 months, he's been unbelievable. And I don't know where this player had been, because under Lampard, he was getting no time.
Well, it's that, I say this not as a criticism, but he's got extra protection there. He's playing with an extra centre-back. And he's kind of tucking in behind. Where is he playing in that back three?
On the left.
On the left. So he's got the, in this moment, Alonso. I looked at that Chelsea back three. I think it was against, it was a game before Leeds or one before that. And I had a look at the average positions of each Chelsea player. Mm. And you were playing Chalobah at right centre-back. I think it might be Rudiger at left centre-back. And those two wider centre-backs almost feel in as full-backs when your wing-backs push on,
so
as
they
well.
They just come just so high up the pitch, and Silva just sits, or Christensen or whoever's playing there. But yeah, Rudiger's just been...
Does it annoy you? Sorry, Tan. No, just one quick question. Does it annoy you that he only seems to be willing to sign a new deal if this essentially makes him like the top three or four paid players in the league, or has he validated that? And
I think he's validated it enough, and he's showing on the pitch even now, his contract's up in the summer, and he's still fighting like that. And I think every Chelsea fan just wants him to sign the contract.
Do you think he will?
I think so. I don't know, because at the moment it looks like Azpilicueta is gonna go. Silva, Christensen are both on last.
I saw the thing contract about Silva today, that Chelsea are pushing to
for another year.
Yeah, yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah,
makes sense.
But I think they're close to it, aren't they?
I think Christensen as well. That's looking close. And you want to wrap up Rudiger. He's been the best defender out of all of them, and he's a leader on the pitch. You can see how he just brings the team up.
He's got a lot of shithousery, you know. Yeah. Rudiger.
100%.
So I was going to ask, what do you think about that kind of stuff? Like for the Leeds second goal, he was involved. He was chasing, I can't remember who the Leeds Donny was, who was doing spins. He was chasing him, then he goes and pushes the guy, then he tries to run back, and he's a bit involved in everything. Like, what do you think about that? Does it concern you? Or do you think that overall his game is too tight for it to,
I
for
think
those
that, that's, that's just how he plays. He plays aggressively, and sometimes you'll get around him, sometimes you won't, and nine times out of ten, lately, you haven't got around him.
Yeah.
And yeah, he's just a madman.
He's a nuisance.
I love it.
he's kind of like, reminds me of Diego Costa a little bit. Like, if you're playing against him,
you hate it.
But if he's on your team, you love everything he does. Everything.
He's got a better character than Diego Costa, though.
So, obviously, it came down to a 94th minute penalty. And Jorginho is probably the coolest man on planet Earth.
Honestly.
What a penalty.
When he steps up, I always think he's going to score. Mm. You just...
The first one particularly, when he gets it top bins.
Top bins. That's probably his best penalty for us. Just dispatched it.
Tuchel actually came out after the game and said for the second pen, he was keeping a close eye because he was wondering whether Jorginho would step up and take the second one. Mm. Or he said, I've got other penalty takers on the pitch like Reece James, Lukaku, whoever was on the pitch at the time. And he just said for him, it was interesting to see him step up so confidently and bag two in one game. And he admired that. And is it... Well, Abdi, I do definitely want to draw you in because of the line you put in the agenda.
Oh, if you can't see.
So I definitely want to bring you in for that. Because we are on the topic of that second Chelsea penalty for the winning goal, essentially, in the very last seconds of the game. Abdi, what... Talk to us. You've essentially called Rudiger a hoe.
Times two.
Times two.
Times two.
Yeah, times two.
I mean, I don't take it back, but
I wasn't asking you to take it back. But what, like, I obviously means you didn't disagree with a penalty being given. Is that correct?
Just saying that, you know, so I have a hatred of Chelsea. Sorry, Tommy, but if it, one of those penalties was a little bit soft. But I think
which one?
Well, the second one.
Which one?
With one, I don't know. I can't remember. I said.
Oh, sorry.
Oh.
So, that really helps your point.
but I do think, obviously, because the rule is clear and obvious, isn't it? So if a referee gives a soft decision, then it's going to be a massive error for them to overturn it. Mm. And you know these AR referees, they're weak.
Yeah, but, you're right. If he hadn't have given that, they wouldn't have gone to VAR and give it.
Yeah, I think for all three, to be fair.
Yeah. It's weird, the VAR stuff, where it's like, it basically what Abdi just said, they kind of, if it kind of looked like a pen and the ref's given it, they're not going to change it.
Because the second one, where Click is behind him and he taps ankle.
That's the one that I would question.
Yeah, like, but if that happens anywhere else on a pitch, I don't think it's a foul.
No, it's true.
Yeah, nor would Rudiger have
thrown himself.
Yeah, gone, like, yeah. I don't think, because that happens all the time, all around the pitch, but just in that instance, he gets he's smart and he gets the
refs were meant to be. Don't you remember at the start of the season, like 4 or 5 games in, everyone was like, whoa, the refs are being so much more lenient, they're letting play kind of go on with gone, for now. Tackles like that, and it's like, where's that gone? Because I don't know, refs were getting a lot of praise start of the season, and it's just back to usual. And I'm not talking about this penalty, I just mean in the general sense, they're a lot more in the press for negative reasons now than they were a month or two ago.
So we usually have like a segment, so like, what do we need to talk about, where like listeners send in questions, you've sent in questions yourself previously, and both of them, surprisingly or not, were related to Chelsea. So since you're here, let's talk about it, let's bring it up, because we usually leave it to the end. So we've kind of talked about it a little bit. Well, a bit. Rudiger. So, yeah. I mean, I've even put like a picture of him like looking. And that's probably after the win. So I'll ask you a specific question. You know, right at the end of the game, Chelsea had the ball in the corner and Leeds were like trying to scrap it. My guy ran 75 yards to get involved in that. Like, what do you think of that kind of stuff? Like, because we've seen stuff previously where players maybe get too into it and then end up getting sent off and stuff like that. Like, but obviously, like, it riled the Chelsea fans up on your side and stuff. But what?
Yeah. I think that's just the character he is. And I think he has shown that he's ready to war for this team. Mm. And if he's kicking off, he's going to be the first one there. And that's not someone you want coming running at you from 75 yards away. But yeah, now you just love him at the moment. I can't help but whatever he does, even if he makes a mistake at the moment, you're kind of like, you've been on job for the last 10, 11 months, giving it your all. Your contract's up, but you're still fighting for the badge. You can't complain. Considering what he was playing, how he was playing before, weren't playing well, fans were like, could we get rid of him? And he's just come through it. Mm. Now he's one of the first names on the team sheet, if not the first.
What do you think the ceiling is for Rudiger?
I think that's been like finding the consistency for him has been the hardest, but he has found it. And I think if he can stay at this level, could he take it to another level? I don't know. Like, it's then you're talking Van Dijk levels, and that's, I mean, to be reaching that, you've got to be.
Oh, no one's reaching his level.
And you've got to be, yeah, exactly. Like, no one's.
I don't think she means what you mean.
I know, I don't think so either. But but yeah, to be like, that's the next step.
So is he? In your, just be honest with us, is he worth, at 29 years old, am I right there, around that age, is he worth 400k a week for 4 or 5 more years? Is he worth tying him down to that? Because I spoke about Chelsea's defensive system a couple of weeks ago, and whilst I think Rudiger has completely agree with what you've been saying about him, I do think that that system allows for another experienced centre-back. You can go out and buy someone who's a bit younger to step in and do as good a job. Because I think the system majorly benefits the centre backs in that Chelsea team.
Yeah, definitely. When you put it like that, four years, 400 grand a week. When you put it like that, you do like that. That is a lot of money.
29, yeah.
At 29, that's nothing to you, though.
And if, well, listen, yeah. let
man smirked.
Actually, I mean, yeah, that's not. If there's any position on a football pitch other than goalkeeper where they can kind of stay at the highest level as they go into their 30s, it's probably centre back. So
yeah.
I wasn't asking in that sense, but it's a big chunk of money. I know he won't be after anything less than a 4-year deal.
Mm.
And for him, in a personal perspective, this will be his last chance to go and try another big club, Bayern or sniffing. Mm. I don't know who else is.
Real Madrid, I think that's the main club at the moment I'm seeing him linked with. I think
let me finish that question actually. Would it, if he does end up leaving, how will you feel knowing that actually the system is still there in place and you can bring someone else in 5 years younger, who someone like Koundé, who you were sniffing in the summer. Someone like Koundé to step in and do almost as good a job, and in a couple of years' time, as good a job.
Yeah, I think that's the gamble though, because at the moment you know what Rudiger's going to offer, and you know what he has been offering. And I think it's more than his performances off the pitch. I touched on it earlier, him being a leader. I think the younger players, like a lot of the Cobham boys, they look up to him, especially the ones in the team at the moment, like Loftus-Cheek, Hudson-Odoi, Mount. They all look up to him. Chalobah, he leads that kind of young pack. And I think if he does go, you're not just losing a good defender, you're missing a big part of that squad.
Big cog in the dressing room. Yeah. That's a fair point.
So I think, go back to your earlier question, would you tie him down? Okay. Probably would.
And then...
Tommy, can I just quickly say, I don't know about the 400k a week. I would have said 100% tie it down. But 400k a week, yeah, that's for your match winners, your game changers. So I think literally the only person in your team who deserves that kind of money is someone like Kante. Mm.
Yeah, Kante is...
I love that.
Did you
Kante, have any of you heard the story of Jamie Vardy? Jamie Vardy. So basically, Jamie Vardy rang N'Golo Kante the day after, the night of the Champions League final that they won to congratulate him. And N'Golo Kante rang him back the next day. I might be getting a little bit of this wrong, so correct me. N'Golo Kante rang him back the next day and said, "Sorry, I went out for a run." This is the night that they've just won the Champions League final. True story.
Kante's just a boy,
he's
man.
He's so humble, man.
Imagine winning the Champions League and 2 hours later going for a run.
What a guy. Yeah. He's a machine.
I think if it is 400 grand a week, that is a bit mad, but we're in a position where we probably can throw that money around. And there's
man tried to sneak probably in. You know you are.
Shocking behaviour, Tommy.
But yeah, we'll see what happens. I'd like to tie him down. As I said, I think he's an integral part to this squad, especially being one of the experienced pros in the team.
Mm-hmm.
400 grand is a bit mad, but
he is holding the cards at this point. Yeah. I think
he's got all of the cards. Yeah.
And then the second question we got was, Tuchel changing tactics from his traditional attacking style to overly defensive. Now, I know you touched on this before and you don't think it's overly defensive because you're creating lots of chances, but he has come in and changed his style completely from what he was doing at PSG and Dortmund.
Yeah, and I think that is to suit our defensive players because they're not the strongest in this system. They're very strong. But if you look at previous managers, Alonso, Christensen, Rudiger, Azpilicueta, they were getting found out in a back four. But giving them the extra man, Jorginho and Kante in front of them, he built something there where it was best suited for them. And I understand that it is frustrating that our attacking players don't get to flourish as much due to this. And I would like to see that a lot more. And I think we have in some instances under him, not as much as I would have liked, but when a manager comes in, wins the Champions League and puts us in the position that we're in now, I'm not going to complain at how he's approaching the game because it's not boring to watch. I don't find us boring to watch. We always create chances. And at the moment, lately, we've been conceding a lot of chances as well. So
you're still up there, though. That's the thing.
And that's the thing. Like the wins against Leeds and Watford in the last couple of weeks have been massive. Because if you lose, drop points in them, you're looking at 6-7 points away from Liverpool and City.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a long way to go when you're that far away. So just keep it on sniffing, get through Jan, because we've got a tough Jan. We've got Tottenham, Liverpool, City
in a row. That's a straight
in a row, and then that's with no Mendy, no Ziyech. And then we go to Abu Dhabi, first week of February. It's going to be a...
Come on, Palmeiras.
It's going to be interesting.
Just to end this off then, because we're approaching that type of time when we'll just move on to the next few games.
I was going
to
ask him like three questions.
All right. So I'll ask this one question. Where does Chelsea's season go from here? Big, massive, literally last minute goal to take the 3 points against Leeds, which, as you've just kind of alluded to, was massive in terms of the table, momentum. Where does Chelsea's season go now?
You've got to keep going now. You've looked at Leeds' last couple of performances. They know it's not good enough. And now we've just got to bounce back. We've got Everton Thursday. Big win. And I think, I can't remember who we've got after Everton, but I know we've got a nice little run of fixtures and then before January. But you've got to be looking at the league and the Champions League, one of as your main goal. The squad's big enough and it's good enough to win it. We proved that last year. Mm-hmm. We got a nice draw both times in the Champions League. So they'll be buzzing off that. But yeah, I'd say looking forward, just got to be the league or the Champions League. One is your priority.
So, okay, I'm going to push you for an answer because I feel like you kind of beat it around the bush. So for you, end of the season, what would you want to see? Like, let's say you win either the Prem or the Champ, but where would you want to come in the other one? Like, for example, if you win the Champions League, where are you coming in the Prem? Or if you win the Prem, where are you coming in the Champions League?
I think if we win the Champs, I think depending on how... Please you not. Just if we fall out of that top three now, that'd be disappointing because I feel like...
You won't fall out of the top
three. That three is head and shoulders above the rest of the league, and yeah, I don't want us to get dragged into that. If going for the league, I don't think if you win the league at the end of the season, you don't really care what happens in the cup competitions when you look back on it. If I had to choose between one, I think I'd go the league.
Yeah.
I think.
It's probably the hardest to win.
It's interesting for me, solely because of the reason you're defending champions, it would be the Champions League.
I think, but competing
that,
against...
To defend that and win it back to back. Oh, unless you're Real Madrid, it's almost unheard of.
I think Ajax.
And that, yeah. Donkeys.
Long.
But for us to come in and for Tuchel to come in and change this team, that Lampard's team, to compete with Klopp's Liverpool and Pep City at this time when they're still flying and been consistently flying for the last 5 years, to come in and break that would be special as well.
Do you feel confident you'll win the league? Or what are your thoughts on winning the league? Do you think you can win it?
I think we can. I think we have to be extremely, extremely good and we can't have the slip-ups we have done in the last couple of weeks. That's like the wins against Leeds and Watford were massive. Mm. Burnley at home, no dropping points. United at home. Liverpool and City, when they were winning the league, they weren't making them mistakes.
Oh, it's funny
mistakes.
You say that because we drew to Brighton and lost to West Ham and then that was that little mini patch over. We won 8 games off the back of that now since then. So that's the type of reaction you want now.
Yeah.
Right?
And we can do that. We went on a good run, use kind of drop point. City weren't always at the top, but now they've picked up and we've had our little wobble, but now it's a chance. All right, cool. Let's go and win against Everton, win all of our games over Christmas, see where we are in January. And
the fact that it's just a point from third to second and then another point from second to first is crazy.
Top four in title race is going to be...
Interesting.
Yeah. Very interesting.
So your picks aren't that easy, the next couple ones. You've got Wolves away and Villa away.
Wolves away.
I said this. Yeah. One
tough.
Of our toughest games this season,
and
if not
Villa
the toughest in the league.
Well.
Yeah.
They look revitalised.
Although Wolves, they'll have no Jimenez, right?
Yeah, but they got Huang.
Yeah, they've still got
Huang.
I don't know why I said that in like a Spanish.
Yeah, Huang.
So I have quick fire questions.
Go on.
So that we don't spend too long on this. We've talked about who Chelsea's best striker is, not position wise, but striking the ball. Who is Chelsea's best striker to you?
Mount.
Okay. Have I forgotten all the questions I had? Probably. Let's move on. I've forgotten all the questions. I was holding it for so long. Like, whilst you were talking, I had them. And then when
should
I went to ask
them.
Should
have written them down, Junior.
Come. Okay. Moving on. Brentford versus Watford was the first game of the weekend. Massive, massive, massive 3 points for Brentford. Watford, heart's broken. Dennis scores again. But that late penalty is going to... I feel sorry for Watford.
I think that will... that could knock... I'm not saying it will, but that would have knocked a lot of confidence out of that Watford squad. To be 1-0 up at the start of the season, the teams who have come up, Watford, Brentford, Norwich, would have earmarked these games against each other.
Of course, yeah.
And said, right, 3 points minimum when we come up against these sides who have come up with us. So for Watford, I think that's a big hammer blow. Not to say that they're kind of in trouble. They are, obviously.
Yeah.
They've obviously improved since Ranieri come in, both points-wise and performance-wise. But that would have been a big hammer blow for Watford. Yeah.
But it's massive for Brentford because they went on a... They started really well and then they went on a really bad patch where it's just like nothing was clicking. Obviously, they got a draw against Everton recently. They won... I can't remember if they won recently, but that winning at home... Huh?
They beat Everton.
They beat Everton. There you go. Yeah. I knew they won somewhere in there. But yeah, to win... against Watford is going to be massive, especially like they don't want to get dragged into that title relegation battle. Definitely not. Anyone, Abdi, you have something to say?
Tooster Kong must be the top one stupid footballer.
Top one.
Shall we move on?
That's Watford captain, big man.
That was reckless, though, man.
Yeah.
Well, Brentford will have a game in hand because the Man United Brentford game. Yeah, got
postponed. Yep.
Yeah, postponed.
Dennis giving off Odion Ighalo vibes though when he come in and slapped it.
I was thinking that, you know, like I was thinking, someone's gonna look at Dennis and like maybe like a Newcastle or something and they're gonna sign him and it's not gonna have the same impact. Or we don't know. He might be the real deal, but
he might be. I was reading up about his international career or lack of it, and he's very rarely been called up for Nigeria, which is really interesting because he's proven this season that he's a player.
Yeah.
So it'd be interesting to see. Go on, Abdi.
I wanted to watch some of his highlights just to see if he was like just to see him all round game, and I didn't realize that they drew 2-2 with Real Madrid, his former team. He played for Club Brugge, and they drew 2-2 with Real Madrid. And he scored both goals at the Bernabeu. So I don't think he's like a flash in the pan kind of guy. He's actually young. He's like 24. Ighalo, he must have been 24 when he came Premier League, yeah. And so watching Dennis, I think what I like about him the most is he's not exactly the same, but he reminds me a bit of Mane. He's really quick. He's a good athlete and he takes on responsibility. So I like him. I think there's more to come from him. And 6-7 goals, 5 assists.
Yeah.
Decent.
Yeah, impressive.
And he's a very good finisher. Mm.
I think only Salah can beat him for that, isn't it? Goals and assists.
Yeah.
He's out here on his own now.
Yeah. But we'll move on to Man City versus Wolves. And...
mate, this game... Oh.
This game.
So Chelsea won with a 94th minute
Chelsea,
pen.
Yeah.
Yeah, Chelsea won with a 94th minute pen. So, yes, I was correct. Chelsea did win with a 94th minute pen.
I was just seeing, like, I like to test you sometimes.
Yeah, Mark does like to test
you. So, I was just seeing.
And Man City won with a pen. And we're going to go on to other games that were won with a pen. But Sterling scores his 100th Premier League goal.
Mm-hmm.
But before that, Jimenez.
Mate, what?
30 seconds of madness.
This guy, you know, have you ever seen the clip when they zoom into someone's brain and it's Homer Simpson on there?
Yeah!
That must have, like, in that moment, I don't know, that's the only thing I can think of that was happening in his brain because head loss. Like, this guy is, what, 29, late 20s, so experienced, international, potentially might be Mexico's captain, probably not. But the point is that he's someone with a wealth of experience and that... You wouldn't even see that from an 18-year-old, 17-year-old.
That's match fixing. I can't lie. Like,
all right, you're going a bit
allegedly,
ham now.
Allegedly.
This is
allegedly.
How can you even think to do something like that?
I don't know. It's a bit mental.
I honestly think he just had a mind fart. He got the book
it
in.
It happens.
And then he probably didn't register. And he thought, let me just stand in front of this.
Yeah. Like, waste some time.
Do you think it was harsh, the second booking, though?
No. It's stupidity.
I think the first booking might have been a bit harsh.
I agree.
The first booking was definitely harsh, but he had given it at that point. But it's similar to, and we'll touch on it, Conor Gallagher's second goal against Everton. Coleman's tried to take a quick free kick and it's hit someone's shins who was standing in front and the ref just kind of waved play on. But it's similar to him and it's just standing in front of the free kick, stopping him from taking it quickly, obviously Palace, Coleman was just lost his head himself.
Because I was going to say, the Coleman one's a bit different because I actually interpreted it quite different. I felt like Coleman's obviously annoyed at that point. So he's just blasting the ball. But I think he wanted to hit whoever was in front of him.
He did. Yeah, it was, he did.
Like, I think it was one of those, like, let me blast it and say, like, I was trying to take a free kick, but this guy's in my way. But it's obviously backfired on him.
That's a fair point. But on this game, right, if we're gonna call out any of the penalty decisions from this weekend, this one is the most shambolic one for me, by far. By far.
It was like the Sissoko one in the Champions League.
I hear what you're saying, but that did hit his arm. This literally just hit.
Like, and I swear, the rule is, it's T-shirt level. Mm. And my guy,
did he actually go to VAR?
Yeah.
They checked it and thought it was still a
hassle. They checked it from like six different angles to see where the ball bounced, but it's still not clear.
Yeah, but for me, I can't see where the ball hits his like non-T-shirt arm, T-shirt sleeve arm.
Ridiculous.
Like, for me, that's not a penalty.
No, it's not.
Yeah, but okay, yeah, that referee, that's the same referee who, Mark, do you remember when I gave it against Lovren? He said, did it hit Lovren? And then he didn't know. And then he said,
We were talking about that before we started recording.
Yes, we were. I was about to say, what you weren't listening at the start. I thought we did it on air, but no, we didn't. Abdi, come in and I know you love Raheem Sterling, so just come in and say how you feel about him. 100 Prem goals, super impressive. What have you got to say, Abdi?
He should be the rightful captain of England, yeah?
So I gave you the whole floor. You come in and say he should be England captain, and then you connection goes again. Yeah. Crazy.
Sort yourself out, man.
Yeah, his connection's wild.
I was speaking, but you lot keep interrupting me.
We can't hear you. All we hear is.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
100 goals. He's just a fantastic player. I've been saying he should be playing in that false nine position. He's changing between left and right every now and then in that fluid system as well. Now they've got with Bernardo and Grealish and Foden or whoever starts really. He scored the penalty. One thing I don't understand yet: he took this penalty. Why didn't he take the penalty in the Euro final then and left it to Saka?
That's a good point. I know.
That's actually a good point. And he was super composed with the one against Wolves. Just literally rolled it down the middle. There wasn't much power on that at all.
Yeah.
Straight. Like, good point.
Fair enough. So City go top.
Mane.
What?
What?
The Mane. I think he said, I love Mane.
He's trying to draw me out.
Yeah, he says Sterling's better than Mane. Yeah, okay, yeah.
Okay. Abdi, it's not every day draw ups.
It didn't work. What's going on? Is that Abdi's connection?
Yeah. Well, that's for you and your connection.
Yeah, trust.
So City are top, and they drew Villarreal in the Champions League.
Oh, of course they
did. So pretty good week then.
Yeah, it's a standard week for City.
Yeah.
When are they going to get a hard draw? That's what I want to know.
Their group stage, Abdi's going to start coming and start crying. Abdi's definitely a closet City fan. Their group stage this year, for once, the one time, literally the one time, and Abdi, you can't even dispute this because I laid out who their groups were in the three seasons before
Abdi
this.
Abdi actually apologised in the group chat. And
it was actually a joke. But their group this year, to be fair to them, was tough, but shock. They come through to the last 16 and get a Europa League tie.
Can I come in quickly?
Here we go.
Go on.
Please do.
Mark was being such a baby. It's a conspiracy.
He's
basically saying you're crying about something.
At least I got to watch that draw with some meaning behind it.
All right.
I can't even laugh.
Oh, man. Okay, we'll move on. But I just wanted to
it's
great to see that Bernardo Silva and Sterling, who, you know, have been like questioned in the past, have managed to find their way back in the City team and are playing.
It was
well.
A lucky win though. That was a good win because they had a chance at the end, didn't they? Wolves, a header.
Yeah.
But anyway,
I genuinely think if Wolves had 11 men for that full game, they really would have given them a proper game. Even down to 10 men, they played well. Wolves, well, as well as you can do against a City team who are just going to dominate the ball when you're a man down and press you like
anyway,
crazy.
Anyway, let's talk about Arsenal because they're next.
Okay, woo! Arsenal. Arsenal won. What are you clapping for?
No, because I need to talk about this captaincy situation. Because
you know, on this podcast, we have secret fans. So we got Abdi, who's a secret City fan, and we got Tanya, who's a secret Arsenal fan.
No,
honestly, genuinely, Tanya loves Arsenal more than anything in the world. Please, that's all she talks about. That's all she thinks about. That's all she dreams about.
Should we let's chat about the game first, then we'll go on to chat about Tanya's.
There is no secret love.
Tanya, I know you're bursting to talk about this.
Because she's such a fan.
Did you end up going in the end?
I did go.
Because
it was on your birthday.
Yeah, it was on my birthday.
And you were kind of...
Oh, thanks, Tanya.
You were kind, you've got to give me a clap. Give me like a quarter of a clap. So you went on your birthday. You did say you were considering it. Not simply because it was your birthday and a loss would have just...
I was always going to go regardless of the pending loss that could have been considering the run that we're Man United and Everton games basically. But I was sitting next to this guy and I was like, Southampton looked really good. 10 minutes in, we looked shocking.
Yeah, they started very well.
And I just thought it was going to be one of those games like where we create nothing and we end up losing like 2 or 3. And it's just one of those boos at the Emirates, and then I'm just depressed for the rest of the year. But we rode our luck in the first 10-15 minutes, because Southampton were creating a lot. And but then we got the first goal, and then we settled, and then after that it was just
you had about 4 or 5.
Yeah, I mean, we hit the post twice. There was like a 15-minute period in the second half where Southampton couldn't get out of their box, let alone their half. And it was just nice to see, because obviously Southampton tax, but...
That's Southampton tax.
Yeah,
you can't get too gassed because it's Southampton. Yeah. But it was nice to see Arsenal maintain pressure. Like, we kept winning the ball back high. Like I said, they couldn't get out of their box. We were creating chances. It was the best period for a long time that I've seen of sustained pressure.
Yeah, that Lacazette goal, that was a goal, man. Playing out from the back.
And it all started from Ramsdale. And I said it in the group chat, Aaron Ramsdale is our best midfielder. I don't care what anyone tells me.
This guy is signing of the season. I don't care.
He is our best midfielder, bar none. I don't know if you guys see it. He's a fantastic goalkeeper, but he's our best midfielder. Did you see the pass to Martinelli? So... He's just, I don't know if it's
what
from
saying?
A corner.
He's Edison now, is that what you're saying?
But listen.
The man said, but.
No, but listen, he gets the ball from a corner or from a cross or whatever. Martinelli sets on his way and he literally pings it in front of Martinelli. If Martinelli had a better touch on that run, he would have scored. Mm. He sets it right in front of him. He was one-on-one with the keeper. But it's just fantastic to see. For ages, we haven't had a goalkeeper that we can trust in.
Is that your biggest win of the season, isn't it? In the league, anyway.
Yeah, probably.
No, they beat us 3-1.
Yeah, but we conceded, so
true.
So 3-0 is the biggest.
So your two goals. I was looking at the table before I come. I think you're a 2-goal win away from joining Positive Goal Difference Club.
Way!
Oh, it's not working.
Yeah, because you're cursed. Just let it go.
I'm not sure who your next game is, but
West Ham.
Yeah, we got West Ham at home.
Boy, West Ham tomorrow. Game. Tomorrow. Yeah, we spoke about this.
Come on, West Ham. I never say this, but come on, West Ham, please.
Let me take this opportunity to draw Abdi in then. no, not even on a... Because I feel like if there's any moment you should come in and speak while you're kind of on dodgy connection land, it would be now. What are your thoughts for... Obviously, Junior's just given us a good rundown of the game against Southampton on the weekend. How are you feeling about tomorrow and West Ham and what's a good result for you?
I agree with everything Junior said about the game... Southampton, but I mean, when it comes to Arsenal, we play well against the teams that are almost at our level and below. Whereas if we come with teams that are, just above our level and on current form this season, we end up losing. So West Ham are a good team. They're good away from home. They've got players in their team that can trouble our problem areas. So I feel like it'll be another tough game at home. I think we are quite good at home, especially this season.
Against them.
Yeah, I tell you what, I'm gonna have a proper watch of the battle between Antonio and Ben White, because we've mentioned it before.
That would be
Ben White against physical strikers hasn't looked great. So it'll be an interesting matchup.
You know what
that
people
one.
Are calling Ben White, right? Seaside Mustafi.
No, he's much better than Mustafi.
I agree. I think that's a bit harsh.
I'm not disputing Ben White as a player, but it is a fact, definitely. When he comes up against, we saw it against Ivan Toney on the first day of the season, and there was one a couple of weeks ago as well where he had a really tough game.
Yeah, so Toney, Richarlison. Yeah.
Anyone who kind of is physical and will ruffle his feathers.
Yeah, they bully him.
He doesn't have the greatest of games, so it'll be interesting to see what Ben White we get tomorrow and what Arsenal we get and what West Ham we get.
The thing is that Gabriel, his form has been so good that he kind of carries that partnership a lot of the times, like in terms of like in the air and
physicality. I'll be honest, it is good science for that partnership if you take into account they're both, 23? Mm-hmm. Get a couple of seasons under their belt together. By the time they hit 25, 26...
Yeah, and do you know it was good to win as well without Smith Rowe, because this over reliance on 20-year-olds it's not going to end well, because you don't want them to get jaded. Secondly, they're inexperienced above all things. Like when it comes to big games, it's not like shocking that they disappeared. They're 20, they're not used to this kind of like run of games and constant like big pressures and stuff like that. So it's a bit frustrating for me looking in, that we're so reliant on 220-year-olds.
I was gonna ask, if you beat West Ham, do you go into the top four? Obviously
they do.
Yeah. Well, or depending on
United's result. Yeah.
Oh no, but it's been postponed. So yeah, we do go. We do go.
So how will you be feeling if you do beat? Because to be honest, if you beat West Ham, that is a good result.
It is a good
result. West Ham are a very decent side. They've beaten Liverpool, beaten City in the Cup, beaten Chelsea. How are you honestly feeling?
Honestly, as I keep saying, I said it before we played Spurs.
It's going to be a street party.
No, before we played Spurs, I said the same thing. I just think that we can't get carried away, because it all depends where we finish at the end of the season, because we need to be consistent. We have a really young squad that are, ups and downs and that kind of stuff. And I just think that we can't get ahead of ourselves. As we've seen, we couldn't beat Everton, who are on the worst run of form for 22 years. And we couldn't beat a Man United team who were there for the taking. So, for me, and obviously we've got players like Aubameyang, who I don't think he cares. And it's just, I think we need to be consistent. I'm not holding my breath for like, oh, we're going to finish top four. I barely think we're going to make top six. And that's just if we can be consistent. And so I'm not like the other Arsenal fans who are throwing street parties if they get into the top four, because I think it's a false position.
But you see, when you look at that, the Europa League draw that just happened on yesterday.
Yeah.
And the teams that were drawn against each other, and that didn't even include the 8 group winners.
Mm-hmm.
It's a massively improved tournament, I think, in terms of the quality of teams in there.
Yeah.
Is it a disappointment for you if after a year out of Europe completely, you finish 5th or 6th? And you've got your Europa League football next season?
I think it's not the level Arsenal should be at. But
100%.
But, like I said before, they are a young team. So any European football experience is big. Like, having Saka play at the Euros all the way to the final is big, because he's getting that experience. But obviously, that's one player out of a whole squad. Like, Ben White was on the bench for that whole run. Aaron Ramsdale as well. So it's like, we need more of it. So we're obviously phasing out all of the older players and stuff like that. So we need these young players to get that kind of experience. So getting battered against Chelsea, Liverpool and Man City is important in a way, but we can't keep getting battered.
Yeah.
That's the point.
Yeah, I think Europa League would be a good season for you at the start, especially how you started the season and you come back from it. And like, there was big worries.
Yeah, yeah.
I think you do look good for top six. And that fourth spot, it depends on if Man United can turn it on under Ralph. But it's up for grabs. I think West Ham are still going to be up there. But if you get a result against them tomorrow.
And if we win our two games in hand, I'm pretty sure we're near fourth as well.
No, I think you go fourth.
Yeah, we go fourth. So
if you win your two games in hand, you're fourth.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's close.
But I just think like it's gonna come down to who is most consistent, and I don't see that.
Yeah, that's a group of
like our average age in the squad is like 24.
Unfortunately, when you put it like that, I do see United getting that fourth spot.
Yeah, I do.
But we'll see how they do under Ralph, as you've just said. And then, but if they can, they've got this unbelievable run of fixtures coming up in the league. If they can, you know, win five or six on the trot, then I can't see past United. But it's a long season, so
yeah. No, we quickly got to talk about Aubameyang. Can we quickly just
Aubameyang
delve into that?
He requested to go to France to pick up his mum.
I've heard this. Yeah.
Last week, and the club said you can go on Wednesday, but you have to come back the same day. He decides to come back the following day in the morning, but he was on time for training.
Yeah, which is
But he didn't have a PCR test, which is what you need lawfully in this country if you are to then go and do your job. And so he was sent home. So he didn't have that. That's breaking the law. You can't train.
Yeah.
Therefore, he didn't follow the rules. And for anyone else, they would be punished. So I don't know why you wouldn't punish Aubameyang, but I think the thing that's worrying is how public it's been. Like, previously, Arsene Wenger would have never done any of this. Like, he would have said Aubameyang's injured. He would have said
something completely different. Yeah, what do you think of Arteta doing that?
Well, this is the issue with having someone step into their first ever managerial role, is they don't have the experience, including how to handle the media and what to say and when. He won't have picked up those little...
Yeah.
The thing is that I don't even think it's that, because I think he's protected players in the past. I think that him and Aubameyang have a really, like, bad relationship, and one where in the summer there was an incident where he basically embarrassed Aubameyang publicly, and he was forced to apologize. So it's like, when you're having situations like that with your captain, you can see, like, I've said it before, I feel like Aubameyang's done, but I think he's done with Arsenal.
I think he's done with Arteta, to be honest. I think he's Arteta around.
So I feel like those things don't, like, if you want a happy player, like, Aubameyang, you could tell he's, like, he looks like a player who likes to laugh, likes to take it easy kind of thing. And he's gotten on with, like, Tuchel, Klopp, other managers, wherever he's been, Wenger, Unai Emery. So it's, like, this relationship has obviously caused him to be, like, he looks miserable, to be fair, on the pitch or whatever, but, yeah.
Abdi wants to come in, I think. Go on, Abdi.
No, I just didn't want to interrupt and then you lot to be criticising my friend. Basically, yeah, I just feel like I wholeheartedly agree with Junior. Aubameyang's taking a piss. You're the club captain, so obviously the rules are even more stricter for you as well. You're meant to be the example. You've seen what club captains, you know, all over the professionalism we're meant to expect from them. So, yeah, you have to be extra. If we told you, come back on the same day, you're meant to be back on the same day. And he protocols. So that aside, 100% Aubameyang is number one in the wrong, and he deserved to be dropped for the game. However, like Junior said, the whole public, the public nature of it all, airing the dirty laundry out to everything, just makes us all look like a massive, like, clown circus that's going on in this club. When you think about Arteta, I think he keeps talking about non-negotiables, brother. Willian last year went five. And came back and started the next game, and he broke COVID, especially when it was stricter then as well. And he left without permission, and he came back and he started the next game. Xhaka has disrespected the club on multiple occasions before Arteta got there. Arteta was the one who convinced him to stay. Second time around this summer as well, he was shouting his mouth out the whole summer, saying, I want to leave. And he's right. And after Arteta brings him right back in. So these non-negotiables, I don't buy it. I think it's just Arteta trying to prove that he's a strong-willed manager who doesn't accept anything. But then in that way, you can go the other way and end up like alienating players, as we've seen with now he's falling out with Ozil and Guendouzi. He's Saliba and
frozen out Pepe as well.
Frozen out Pepe. Well, Abdi, whilst I agree with you, do you not think it's at a point now where it's like, if it was a one-off, then fair enough, we'd keep this in-house. But there have been key moments where he's done stupid things, and this isn't obviously a one-off. Do you think it should have been kept in-house? Because then you yourself would have been questioning tomorrow, where's Aubameyang? Why is he not in the squad? And it would raise so many unanswered questions. This way, you've got the answer and you know.
I agree. But the only thing is, it's definitely not a one-off, but the first time round, he went and aired it out to the press before a big derby. He said the reason Aubameyang is not playing. Arsene Wenger would never say that, obviously. And The thing is, Arteta, what I don't like about it is he will say, it's almost half-hearted. He will say, oh, it's a disciplinary issue. And then they ask him what it's about, and he goes, I'm not going to say it. I'm never going to say that kind of thing. But why did you bring it up? Because it's just going to create speculation.
Yeah.
And it does.
Yeah. Mm. We've spent a lot of time on this. Let's
oh, can on. I just very quickly ask you both, who would be your next Arsenal captain?
I would go for, like, Kieran Tierney.
Yeah, that would be mine.
I know Abdi has said the same thing, but just because I know he's been out of the squad, the starting 11 for the weeks previous to Southampton and Everton, but I just think his character, his professionalism at 24, he just looks like the model. Like, he was captain at Celtic, or he's one of the captains at Celtic. I think he's captained Scotland as well. And
I think he might even be vice-captain.
Yeah, to Scotland. Andy Robertson, yeah. So I just think it's perfect for him to now just take that, you know, as long as he can keep fit, man. And
that's the only thing. Or I'd give it Gabriel, but does he speak English?
No, his English is limited, yeah. But he's taken, I saw a thing that he's taken extra English classes so that he can improve that, because he would be really good as well. Cause yeah, he leads,
I think he'd be good.
And you see how he is with the fans and stuff. Another one would be Aaron Ramsdale. Like, I know he's just come in, but just the rapport he has with the fans, how he's constantly yelling from the back,
he's a leader.
We haven't had that for a long time. Yeah. That's what I was saying before about having a goalkeeper who...
Who will it be tomorrow? When it's none of it's... So it won't be made official.
I think it'll be Alexander Lacazette. If Lacazette plays, because Lacazette is the vice-captain. But... Again, they're here with this group of captains.
He's leaving.
Thing.
Like, if you give it to Lacazette permanent,
It's not confirmed.
But
and under the, you know, this season, Lacazette has been better than.
True, yeah.
Aubameyang, Nketiah, whatever rubbish that you can throw up there. So, like, I wouldn't be so opposed to like selling Aubameyang and keeping Lacazette, because Lacazette is, you can see he's a lot slimmer. He might not score as many goals, but he is better at link-up play. He can hold the ball better than Aubameyang. He gets involved more than Aubameyang.
It's not a bad number two to have to bring on. And I think he's got, 10, 15 goals for you every season. So just having him about and his experience. But who would you want to come in to replace Aubameyang? Because that seems like that's going to be your next big move next summer.
You need someone who can stick the ball in the back of the net 20 times in the league and however many across. Yeah, you need someone in there.
My dream signing, I don't know who Abdi's is, but my dream signing would be Isaac from Real Sociedad. I know he's young, and this season he's not got the numbers that he got last season. I think he's on 6 goals this season, but it's still early days. But just for me, his dribbling, his presence on the pitch, he's always looking to get involved. He's got pace. Just that kind of thing. I know Aubameyang hasn't worked in this system, but I think with Isaac's dribbling ability, he can get himself in the game a lot more. Abdi?
We've got someone who has wanted to leave their club, is an Arsenal fan. Why not Harry Kane?
Oh my God. You've got... Right, let's move on. Waste, man.
All right, Liverpool played Villa in the Steven Gerrard derby. Mark was desperately upset that it wasn't shown on TV. But Mark, did you allegedly watch the game?
Allegedly,
okay.
I might have, you know.
You might have.
This is all allegedly.
Allegedly, of course.
Might have watched the full 90.
Yeah. What was the reception like for Gerrard?
Amazing.
It was amazing. I liked it because it was almost not to go into like corporate world. It was quite professional. So it was before the game and after the game. Yeah, and during the game, it was we're here to beat you. But before the game, he was. Charaded with love. After the game, the song that used to ring around Anfield week after week after week was sung. It was really nice to watch. And he did an interview with LFC TV afterwards, and opposition managers don't usually do interviews on opposition team channels. So it's all nice. What can I say about the game? It was another fierce battle, similar to Wolves the week before.
Yeah.
Boy, I can just say I'm happy to come out of that game with 3 points. Villa really brought it to us. They were great by any stretch, but they were very well organised.
Yeah.
They matched us up in formation 4-3-3. Their front three was quite narrow. Ours was very wide.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, it's the 1-0 win that was sweet. 2 1-0 wins on the bounce. And sometimes you get really excited with the 3 or 4-0 wins, but the the ones that really mean a lot more.
They're sweeter, innit?
They're dirty 1-0s. Dirty 1-0s. Yeah. You keep a clean sheet and you nick a goal. Yeah. And
what was Mings doing, man?
What is he doing, period? Yeah,
no, you know what? The thing is,
he had a good game.
He genuinely had, up until that point, he actually had a decent game. I'm going to be honest.
Abdi's ready to come in.
Go on, Abdi.
He's ready.
Bursting out of the room.
Your question, to answer your question, what was Mings doing? He was being Tyrone.
Fair enough.
Did you ever doubt Salah would score?
It was interesting because we had... Mendy was playing mind games with Salah when we got a pen against Chelsea. Oblak was playing mind games with Salah when we got a pen at Atletico in the Champions League away from home. And then Martinez was trying to play my games with him.
That's like Martinez's bag, isn't it? He loves it to try and psych out a guy.
So usually those type of mind games would have me on edge a little bit. But honestly, I sat there and thought, you know what?
He doesn't miss, man.
He missed one in the Champions League this season, Penn, but he's bagged his last 15 in a row in the Premier League. And to be honest, we were talking about this on the way up here. It was so well placed. Martinez even went the right way. It was just so well placed. There was no saving that. And then from that moment on, it was less about searching for a goal and more about staying compact, limiting chances and getting forward when we can. We could have won that game 2 or 3-0, let me make that clear. Mm-hmm. We went 1-0 up and Villa started attacking more, as you do when you go 1-0 down. And Jota missed a couple of chances. He came off the bench. Salah missed a chance or two. But all in all, I'm just happy with the 1-0 win. As Tommy said, it's this pack of three at the top and... as long as all of these three teams are winning, you just
damn Liverpool are looking good though.
Would Steven Gerrard was a bit upset with the Danny Ings that he felt it should have been a penalty. I showed it down, you can see that Alisson saves it.
I think he said that before he's seen a replay. That's not me stating that as a fact, but that was his immediate after the game interview. And I don't.
Yeah.
I think to the naked eye, that probably did look like a pen. Mm. But you're right. When you see the clip, contact's made with the ball, that really proper contact with the hand. And when you think about the foul that Schmeichel got, I think it was against. Who was it? Where the ball
Villa.
Was
Villa.
Villa. And they gave Schmeichel the fact that he had simply touched the ball. So if we're going by the kind of what's happened in recent weeks, then it's not a foul.
Yeah.
Because his hand's on the ball. But massive 3 points for us. And I don't say that lightly because every game now for Liverpool, for City, for Chelsea is honestly, I genuinely think is must win.
So I was going to ask Tommy, we talked about Man City and we talked about Liverpool. Who scares you more?
Oh, tough question.
Both. you can't separate them because both could go on to win every game from now until May. Both could just match each other.
Yeah. That's
the level that's been set by these over the last few years. That's why I said for us to win the league against both of these teams, that would be an achievement.
It'd be interesting. Your double header against us in February or whenever you said it was.
Yeah, mid-Jan.
Could really open double up header. A few.
We've got us and then them back-to-back.
So they've got... Spurs, then Liverpool, then City.
Oh, yeah.
That's what Chelsea have got coming up just before they go off for the Club World Cup.
Yeah. Come on, Palmeiras.
So it's vital, actually, that you... what would you take from that? 7 points? Realistically.
You don't want to lose any of them.
Yeah. But
if you draw. But they're what? City away, Liverpool at home.
Yeah. Ooh, long tough day, games. Long
and,
day.
And let's be honest, City nor Liverpool are out here to gift you 3 points.
It's true, it's
so
true,
they're going to be that right
I
there.
Can't
that little
wait for those games. Oh
and I think
God.
We've got you just literally the game before African combination.
Second of Jan, we've got you. And I think the tournament's due to start on the 8th. So
you still have. Yeah, if that would been played a few days later. Then it would have been an interesting game. No Salah, no Mane.
But then you have no Mendy.
Ooh. I'd rather have us have no Mendy, which you meant them having no Salah and Mane.
But Kepa, bro. Like,
no, I genuinely hear what you're saying.
No, I agree as well, but like Kepa, but yeah, not facing Salah and Mendy.
But this is a £70 million goalkeeper in Kepa.
Yeah. He's an old.
Let's move on. So the third game to be decided, no, the fourth game to be decided by a penalty was the Norwich versus Man United game. And I'm gonna use the words of Abdi. Norwich batter United and Ronaldo scores a pen to steal the headlines despite another shambolic performance.
Oh, this guy needs Ronaldo agenda, honestly. I'm actually
crying. Okay, it wasn't quite Norwich batter United, but Ronaldo's there to save the day again.
What you got to say about that?
You watched his performance.
Did you watch his performance, he's asking?
It doesn't matter.
Yeah. Tanya's backing him up with no evidence.
Well, he scored, and he did the sue, so...
There you go.
How are you suing that Carroll Road? I thought Sue was reserved for the big occasions.
No,
like,
that's all he does
knockouts
now.
In the Champions League.
That's all he does, man. He just sues everywhere, man. Abdi, did you have something to say?
Yeah, I do, yeah. Okay. I get criticised, yeah, for having an agenda against Bruno, yeah. But if you lot watch that game, yeah, and you don't think that he belongs in jail, then you should go there with him.
Yeah, Bruno and Rashford were poor in that game.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, actually, thank you, Rashford. That triggered a thought in my mind. Rashford, Rashford was a lucky boy, in my opinion, to stay on for the full 90 there. I feel like the changes that Ranić made, there was no impact on that game from Rashford. I would have maybe kept Sancho on for the full 90. But, I mean, who am I to question it? Because at the end of the day, they won that game 1-0. I just think Rashford has to step it up now because for the past year, performance level hasn't been there.
How much do you rate Rashford? Like,
I think he's...
Amongst other wingers in the league or other players that can play in his position?
I think he's completely... Like, he's a talented forward. Like, he's so good. What we've always talked about since the beginning of the podcast is we want Rashford to score more goals. Mm-hmm. Like when we started this podcast, like 3 years ago, two seasons ago, that was the first thing. I think that Abdi said to who shall not be named was that Rashford was going to score more goals, like should score more goals. That he believed Rashford would score more goals, but it just hasn't happened. Like he has had injuries. Mm-hmm. And I guess playing out on the left, it doesn't help. But I don't see him being
that.
The number 9.
That's his best position.
That's what I'm saying.
I just feel like if you're a United fan and you watch them week in, week out, I just think he's not impacting games enough.
No.
And he's not scoring enough.
Mm-hmm.
So there's we know that Marcus Rashford can do both of those things in abundance. He can impact games with his speed, his pace, getting behind the lines, and he can score goals. And we haven't seen that for a while from Marcus Rashford. So it's time for him to step up. Definitely.
Especially when they've got Greenwood on the bench. Greenwood played midweek. So if Rashford's not playing well, then I don't know why. You could just change Sancho over to the left and bring in Greenwood. And then, you know, him, the criminal up front, he can still play.
He's still going?
I'd say Greenwood should be playing more. Go on, Sam.
No, I was going to say, I haven't seen a massive improvement from United. And obviously, it's early days with,
with
their new manager. But I was expecting a bit more. But it's... They're really scraping the get, like,
yeah, because you'd think he's Ollie still in charge. Let's be honest, that Norwich game, not
much
difference.
But you've got to give credit to Norwich because since Dean Smith's come in,
they were even decent against us.
Yeah, they've solidified their structure slightly different, but it means they're more compact and they can kind of just sit in and soak up attacks as they did against United. The worrying thing for Watford is that
Norwich,
See, testing you again. Yay! Well done, I like that. See, I like to just chuck little ones out there. The worrying thing for Norwich is obviously just going to be, can they win enough games? And the answer to that, for me, is
no.
But
I hear what you're saying. Spurs put three past them.
Yeah.
With United's attack and the quality that they have, should United not be comfortably winning that game?
Yeah,
absolutely. They shouldn't need a pen to win that game, but
it's the Prem.
Yeah. The Prem, you're not going to get an easy game, and the important thing for United is that they walked away from that with 3 points.
And back-to-back clean sheets is big for them as well because they conceded. It was conceding every week under Ollie.
I miss those days.
Every week, but that'll do well for them. And I think dropping Wan-Bissaka because he's been.
I'm glad the rest of the country in the world. So he's
been shocking. this year.
That's Tanya's favourite player.
Well, I bigged him up previously. I take it back.
Sorry, we glossed over something. Liverpool drew Inter Milan in the Champions League. How do you feel?
Tough. Considering we could have drawn six teams, two of them were tough in Inter and PSG. And then the other four were Villarreal, Salzburg, who we initially drew.
And it doesn't matter.
I feel like we can beat them, but
because they're without Barella as well.
Just for the first game, But I mean, this is an Inter team who have been for the past two seasons, even since Conte's left, have still been impressive, and they're still sitting at the top of that Serie A.
Serie A is nothing to brag about.
It is nothing to brag about, but. That league in the past couple of years, you know, when Juventus aren't just storm rolling that every season, I really think that league's improved over the past couple of years, and Inter are the flag bearers almost. It is a tough draw. Come in, you come, Abdi.
Yeah, hit a little buzzing in it.
No, I just said, yeah, I agree. It's true. It's very competitive nowadays because like Napoli were top a couple of weeks ago. Now they're like fourth or fifth, and it's both between like Inter, AC Milan and Atalanta. So I agree with Mark, it is going to be a tough game, to be honest. It's obviously tougher than the game you had in the first round of the draw. You had Salzburg, that would have been an easier one for you. But Inter Milan, I think, although they've lost Conte and Lukaku, but they've still got a lot of good players and they seem to be gelling quite well under Inzaghi, actually playing good football. I watch times on BT Sport, so yeah.
Shout out BT Sport. Oh, he's gone.
Okay.
No. Oh, he's back.
I just said I think Liverpool have enough.
We should have enough, but the thing with knockout football is that just having enough doesn't win you the game or the tie. So
we've got rid of it's
I no,
I'm, no, I'm glad it's
it, yeah,
I'm glad well, it's yeah, gone.
Because you got to think, if you were away for the second leg and it's gone to extra time, like why do you just get an extra 30 minutes to score an away goal?
That's true. Mm. Yeah.
Like there were certain elements of it that just weren't fair. So I get why they've scrapped that, but it does remove a bit of the excitement as well. And it also means teams going away from home, we're going to the San Siro first, there's not as much emphasis on going out attacking and grabbing an away goal.
Yeah.
So how many Arsenal games would have come out Arsenal wins if, or at least gone further than us getting knocked out because of the away goal?
What a shame.
I know. Anyway, firstly, shout out to Salzburg, who became the first Austrian team to ever to qualify for the knockouts of the Champions League. Unlucky on the draw.
Bayern. Poor guys.
But what do you guys think of Man United versus Atletico Madrid?
They're going to struggle against them.
I really think, Abdi, Phil, just come in and do what you usually do after I say this, but I think there's potential for that to be tie of the round. I really do. I think just watching both of those games, because Atletico are just shit houses. They will ensure that most of that game isn't played with a football at the feet. Their results come differently, and that's whether you like that or not. That's how they do it.
I mean, the evidence to that is the Porto game.
That was
oh my god, that was wild. That's how they like to win games. Maybe not like, but that's how they do it.
And the poll there is basically Simeone's clone on the pitch.
Exactly, and it will be interesting to see how United would handle that. B, you've got the extra element of Ronaldo and that history of Atletico Madrid.
He loves scoring.
Obviously, I know Madrid and PSG got drawn against each other.
That's the one.
But I do think the United Atletico games, the double header, will be very, very, very entertaining.
Abdi?
Yeah, I agree with Mark. It's definitely anyone. Obviously, you've got, like Mark says, their team is full of psychopaths. Their manager.
You put it much better than me. I was struggling for words.
Their manager is a psychopath. And all I want to see, though, is one of those evil centre-backs go two-footed on Ronaldo.
Oh, my God. Edit that bit out.
Oh, my days. That might be the snippet, you know. Okay, let's move on to... we'll just acknowledge that Burnley versus West Ham happened because it was a drab 0-0. The next game was Leicester versus Newcastle. Tanya was particularly upset with Maddison.
Yeah, for diving. I thought he dived for that penalty. I don't know what you guys
think. Oh, yeah, that's a good point, actually. I completely, when I said the most contentious penalty of the weekend was that City one, which I still think it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I completely forgot about that Leicester penalty. Yeah. really like James Maddison as a player, and he's flipping quality. And I love the first line in the agenda, Abdi, where you basically just said Madders is back. But yeah, there were some theatrics there.
Yeah.
100%.
So why doesn't VAR look at that and say, like...
Because like we said, if the ref gives something nowadays, unless there's some evidence that drastically says, actually, the ref was wrong, they're too scared to pull the ref up on his own decision. But if
it looked...
It was a dive, but...
But it looked a pen, but when you look back at it, different angles, you can see that it's...
But what he's done, he hasn't dived and there's not been any contact. He's dived into the contact.
Yeah.
Different type
of
dive.
Yeah, but we've seen
different type of dive.
But we've seen players booked for that.
No, but that's just why I don't think the VAR reversed that decision because of the contact, even though James Maddison probably initiated that contact.
Fair enough. And it's funny how Abdi decides to catch COVID the week that Tielemans
scores
two
big
goals.
Man. Enter this conversation right now and speak up.
But are you guys forgetting the episode where I apologise?
No, I'm joking. No, you did. The public apology was good enough, so we won't draw you out on that one again. But let's
say something.
Oh, go on.
Penalty. Can I quickly say something about the penalty? Yeah?
Go on.
Tanya about the penalty, but that is a Harry Kane special. So
whatever.
That's a fair point.
Yeah, very valid point.
It's true. I can't remember if we had this conversation on the way here or
did you guys have a podcast when
we
in
got
the car?
Here? Yeah. Literally, we were looking at the agenda and just chatting it through. Do we think that that was Leicester back to their best, or were Newcastle just abysmal? Right, I watched
Newcastle
this game.
I don't.
Some credit to Leicester because you have to score the goal.
I think it's unfair to say that was just Newcastle being abysmal because that's the best Newcastle. I've seen Leicester play this season.
I wouldn't say it's 50-50.
Yeah,
I would say it's about 65 to Newcastle being abysmal.
Yeah,
because
I agree.
Like I don't know how you plan to stay in the Premier League. I know I bigged them. Well, bigged them up is such a strong word for what I did a few weeks ago, but. You can't defend that way and expect to stay in the Premier League. Mm. There's no way that you can...
Well, January's coming up. They're going to buy everyone, apparently.
No, not everyone. Like, for example, Newcastle could go and sign Dennis from Watford. They could just throw the money at.
Mm.
That's the type of player I'm talking about them buying. I'm not saying they're going to go to Spurs, get Harry Kane, going to go to Man City, get Sterling. I'm not saying that. But they can throw money at the teams around them.
Mm.
They could get a Dennis, who's been Watford's best player. They could go and get, you know... I don't know who Norwich's best player is, but they could go get one of those. Like maybe Cantwell.
They should get a Tarkovsky. What's his name from Burnley?
Tarkovsky's injured at the moment.
But yeah, they can go and do that. That's what I was talking about. But you can't defend like that and then hope to stay in the league. Like there's no way, especially like when goal difference is so important. Like that because the numbers down there are so close. Like and you're getting battered 4-0. It's just. Yeah.
They've got a lot of work to do.
They struggle to score, so the first thing that you need to do is just defend well.
Yeah, they've got the second worst goal difference in the league, -17 at this point.
Like if you can't defend, then you're just gonna go down. Like it just because they can't score. That's been their problem for so long.
For time.
Yeah, like before Benitez, I can't remember them. Like the last maybe under Pardew, they were good at.
That's when they were a fluid attacking
team. Nowadays they're just like they'd be over the moon scraping a 1-0.
I think they're going down personally.
Yeah.
Honestly,
it's looking bleak. It depends what they do in January because then
who would come though?
Who's gonna come?
But money talks.
Money does talk. And they'll be offering players good money.
They'll be throwing the bag at everyone.
And they'll bounce back up if they do go down as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because they'll rinse that league.
Yeah, yeah.
So if you see it as a long term project, then it can be appealing.
Yeah.
No, but that if that woman isn't scaring the hell out of Eddie Howe, then I don't know how that guy has that.
Hey, be respectful.
No, I'm sure she's a lovely woman. Let's talk about Palace.
I'm sure she's not a lovely woman.
All right, let's talk about Palace versus Everton. The Conor Gallagher show.
I was a Chelsea fan.
Okay, we got a Chelsea fan finally. Me personally, I don't see Conor Gallagher's future at Chelsea, mainly because I don't know how he'll get a lot of game time in that Chelsea team,
especially with how stacked
Chelsea are in every position. But a player like Conor Gallagher, you must be like gutted that he can't find a way through that Chelsea.
Yeah, and I think we've had a few of these over the last few years where players have been good and they just haven't been given a chance. I think obviously Frank has changed that, and that Chiloba this season, that's another one coming in. But Gallagher, I remember he went out on loan when he went to Charlton, and I was watching a few of Charlton's games that year, and he was unbelievable. And then he left in Jan, and their season fell apart, and they got relegated. Went to Swansea, linked up with Brewster quite well, and then last year with West Brom, didn't quite fit for him.
I felt bad for him because like it was just defensive.
Yeah, I think under Bilic, he started the season well, and then when Big Sam come in, it's just, you know what Big Sam's going to do. He's not going to play to his strengths.
Yeah, yeah.
But this move this year has been unbelievable, and his energy, just from the first minute to the last minute, is unmatched.
Mm.
And then, if you think, was that his fifth or sixth league goal this year?
Sixth.
Yeah, wow, he's
and
doing
you
well.
Say that, you compare the firepower at Chelsea. I don't think Ziyech has hit six league goals. Pulisic hasn't hit six league goals.
I honestly don't think
none of them.
Any but Chelsea that's because player has. Gallagher's playing every game.
Yeah.
And he wouldn't get that at Chelsea.
That's very true. But when he does play, he is scoring compared to, say, our players who aren't scoring at the moment.
Yeah, he's been offered the chance to kind of play in multiple positions as well. I've seen him play in a 10. I've seen him play on the right of a midfield 3. If I might have even seen him play DM for half a game a couple of weeks ago. He's getting experience all over that central area of the pitch, which obviously is a good thing.
Mm.
But Chelsea literally just play with 2 centre mids. Then you've got your 3 up top. Yeah. So where? Like, how and where? You see that happen, if it even can happen.
I think we'd be stupid not to find a way to get him into that team. Like when you're bringing in that Sal, who's been, I don't know, who's brought back Boularoos vibes, the way he's been playing.
Boularoos, that is a tale from the past, boy.
Like, you have to find a way. He's clearly a talent whose ceiling is so high. Mm. Like, I don't think you've scratched what he can do. Like, That second goal on Sunday was ridiculous. Like, he just bounced. Like, he was alert. Like, Coleman, obviously doing dumbness, the quick free kick. But he was alert. One touch, bin.
Mm.
And he's scoring, like, big goals. I think he got a goal away against Man City.
Yep.
Won the penalty. So, like, he's doing it on a big stage for Palace. And I think we all thought Palace were going to struggle at the start of the season.
Yeah.
But he's been a shining light for them. And some people were saying bring him back in Jan. But and then... Ooh. For him,
that was stunning his development.
Yeah, because you think once like Kante, Kovacic, they're all back fit. I could see him being a good Kovacic kind of replacement, playing that kind of box to box role.
But then where would that leave Loftus-Cheek, for example?
Yeah.
I'd have him
still struggling for minutes, even without Conor Gallagher around.
I'd have him over Loftus-Cheek at the moment. I think that Loftus-Cheek boat, he's getting minutes this year because injuries and... That's where we're short, and obviously Sal, that we thought he was going to come in and be that guy, but he hasn't been that guy. Barkley still there, getting minutes occasionally, but yeah, if you can kind of shift that weight in the summer, there's a part for him to play in this squad. Whether it'll be playing every week, probably not. That's
age where it's very, it's really important for them to play.
Yeah,
and that's that decision that he'll have to make next summer. If Tuchel can promise him minutes, then happily have him. But if not, then Palace, or even someone probably higher, he could probably go European football somewhere in England.
He'd get into Arsenal team like so easily.
Get into Arsenal
because he's just a pressing demon, and he's good on the ball as well. I think he's shooting.
So technically good, like he's just good at most things.
His shooting has been a bit questionable in other games that I've seen. I know that one was just. Yeah. Flew in the top bins, but there is a quality player there.
Absolutely.
And he
just does so much for Palace. Like he's the one that gets Palace ticking.
Yeah, and on Palace, what? We speak almost every week about the fact that they keep drawing games or losing them in the last couple of minutes, but that's their... Not great on the face of it when you actually deep it, but that's their fourth win in 16 in the league.
Mm.
But the fact that they've drawn 7, so... You know, that's 5 losses in 16. They're sitting quite comfortably in mid-table, 6 points above the relegation zone.
If they could get that attack, like, if Vieira can just get the balance right, because the thing is that they concede a lot of late goals. If they can just get the balance, see the game out, and you have to give Vieira massive credit because, like, we spoke about it on this podcast, they had, like, 16 departures from last season.
Big turnover.
So, like, it's not... it's really rare that you get a whole bunch of new players in and they gel really quickly and they work together. Like,
and stylistically, he's changed the way they approach games absolutely. Massively, and he's done that in what, less than half a season, and a pre-season, obviously.
Yeah.
Eze's back now. Is he back?
Yeah, he's back
starting now.
Oh, can't wait. Love him.
Sorry. But yeah, nice. It's like, I was worried for Palace at the start of the season. Vieira, very like inexperienced manager, hasn't been around for too long. Mm. I had a couple jobs here and there, but to come to the Prem, to Palace, who, it's not an easy team to come manage.
Yeah.
Especially the way that he wants to play to transform them, and with the big turnover. And still to be having Gary Cahill as your centre-back going into the season. And James Tompkins.
He scored.
They love him. He's done a good job.
Yeah.
Very good job.
But as for Everton, they're 14th. That's actually mad.
They've got injuries and they've got a really thin squad, but Benitez should be doing better. This is looking like Newcastle.
I'm sorry for doing this, right? But why are Arsenal the someone pronounced that word for me now.
Anomaly.
Abdi, I can hear you busting up. Like, what? Why?
we spoke about it last week.
No, I know. So Arsenal are the anomaly.
Yeah.
That's a proper tongue twister. I can never get that word out. I don't know why. But I mean, I think it's in the last 9 or 10, they've won one singular game.
This is the worst run in 22 years.
Why? Not why is it Arsenal, as in why are Arsenal the club that they've beaten? Why is it Arsenal who have given them that?
Because I think we went into that game like nonchalantly. We played it with no pressure, no pace. There wasn't any quick tempo. And then, obviously, the two disallowed goals spurred on the crowd. Like, I think the two defeats on Merseyside kick-started from the crowd getting behind the team.
But I thought they would have taken that into the Crystal Palace game.
But it's away from home. It's away from home. They struggled away from home. They've been poor. They're not scoring goals. Demarai Gray is probably, I think, there's their top scorer.
Mm-hmm.
When you got Rondon up front, and that was his first goal this season, they're missing DCL, which I know you don't you don't rate. But
Abdi's boy on the right dropping another another disappearing act. Do you know who I'm referring to?
What, Townsend?
Your boy, yeah. Were you impressed?
On that, soon you were talking about injuries. Richarlison's out for a couple months now.
Couple months.
Oh, that guy's trash.
That's crazy though for Everton.
That's peak for them.
That's honestly peak.
Could they get relegated now?
No, relax.
You say that. We're 16 games in.
When's DCL back?
Every time I watch Everton, they look terrible.
Does anyone know when DCL's back?
No idea.
No.
He's too busy doing up.
Abdi?
No, he's still away as well, so they're going to be without both of them for a while now.
Oh, that's peak.
His injury, Calvert-Lewin?
I don't know.
Bloody hell, he's been out for time.
He's got a model niggle.
Oh, probably, That guy, his dress sense is questionable.
Come on, guys. Quickly read out something for you. Earlier on, we were talking about Conor Gallagher. I just want to read out a list of names of players who've come through Cobham. This list is ridiculous, bruv. So you've got, this is just recently, Mason Mount, Reece James, Hudson-Odoi, Trevor Chalobah, Loftus-Cheek, Christensen, Conor Gallagher, Billy Gilmore, Jamal Musiala, Declan Rice, Tammy Abraham, Fikayo Tomori, Jeremy Boga, Guehi, Livramento, Lamptey. The best academy.
Oh my God, I actually hate Chelsea.
Who's the one for you right from that list? Man. Who's the one that got away? For me, it would be Musiala.
Yeah.
The pronunciation is probably wrong. Did Christensen come through the academy? Yeah.
We bought him.
He was really young.
About 13, 14.
Yeah. That's like, yeah. So that's not, like, it's not quite. Yeah, that's like Arsenal saying Fabregas come through.
Mm. Nah, he did. I'm joking.
And some of them got some players on there. And then if you think, you look at like Solanke, I know he's not quite the same, but he was going to be a
was Reece James even on that list?
Yeah,
there,
he was.
Right? Yes. Oh, he was, yeah.
Yeah, the talent we've got is ridiculous. And it's good to see that we are producing it into the first team now, because for years, Chelsea fans were calling that. And literally, it was John Terry. That was it. And then no one. And then your likes like Van Aanholt, Patrick Bamford. Like,
how disheartened you would have been to be an academy player in those years when no academy players were getting a chance. You just you just sit there and think, oh, well, I might as well move on now rather than in.
And then now it's happening now. We had like Livramento, Lamptey, all moving.
I was about to say, we've had four right backs in that list.
Jeez.
Just animal right backs. And then you've got Broja up front for Southampton. I know he's on loan.
No, but he signed a new contract before he went.
Mm.
He's a sick
player. He's looked good. I think he was like under 19, his top goal scorer last year.
Mm.
Like across the leagues in Europe. He'll be a good player.
He's a beast, isn't it?
But yeah, our academy is ridiculous, and it is finally good to see the money that Roman did put in when he first come in. It is now.
But you didn't answer the question. He asked you a specific question.
Who's the one that got away?
It's hard out to say all of them. I like Lamptey. Yeah. I know, but I can understand why he's not in this
team. Yeah, of course.
But if you take away that sentimentality of like James drops into the right centre back over Aspi. And Lamptey's on the wing. He's very inexperienced, and I can understand why.
Yeah.
But his ceiling looks like he can. He's much better than Bratton. If he can stay fit, I'd say that's one that.
That's his only issue.
Yeah.
But I'd say one that in the future, 5-6 years, you'd be like, shouldn't have let him go. We've got Reece James, so you can't complain. But
Yeah,
definitely him.
All right. Abdi, did you have something to say?
What about Declan Rice, though?
I think we let him go quite early, so that doesn't hit as much, I'd say, because he weren't more. I mean, he's like 14, 15. But he's been unbelievable this year. And I think I'd love him at Chelsea. I've been saying this.
I think he will go since Chelsea
we were linked with him. He's just a driving force in midfield. I love watching him play. And I think he's got better every season. Mm. He hasn't stayed still. You know where. Like when we think back to like Ross Barkley, he'd have a good season and then he'd go missing for 2 months. Rice has just got better and better, captaining that team in Europe as well, getting that experience, playing all the way to the Euro final. He's only going to get better. And what he's taken for this West Ham team, if they get champs next year, top four, he can stay there for another year. But I do think his time, he will have to move eventually. Yeah. And I'd love to have him as a kind of like a Kante replacement. When that time does come, I feel like he'd be perfect to come and slot right in.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. I think a lot of Chelsea fans feel the same. But we'll move on because we're pressed for time. So we've talked about briefly the Champions League draw. COVID outbreak. Abdi, what were the numbers? 42 COVID? Is that?
Yeah, positive. Just now, they've actually released, whilst we've been podcasting, they've released new measures. Basically, what they're saying is that every member of staff going into a training ground has to do a lateral flow test as well before they can come in. So it's just because the cases this week have been ridiculous. I blame Tottenham.
But yeah, it's awful.
But Omicron has been, or however you pronounce that thing, has been very contagious, like everyone's.
Mm.
Yeah. So stay safe out there. Which brings us to Man of the Week. So Abdi is actually the first person this week on Man of the Week. So Abdi, take it away.
My Man of the Week is Conor Gallagher.
Damn it.
That was my one as well.
Yeah.
Oh, I hate you.
I've got two options. One's just been taken.
Yeah, one's been taken.
Junior, I think it's you.
No, he's still talking. He was. Abdi?
You didn't even let me give my explanation.
Go on then.
Go on then.
two goals, a fantastic performance, really up and down, great energy, and he was vital to Palace's win, so Conor Gallagher is my man of the week.
Okay. So my one quick adjustment, I'm going for Jorginho for the two pens, especially the last one, which is 94th minute. That's so much pressure, and he's just so cool. Like I said at the beginning, he's the coolest man on planet Earth, and he just slots them both away.
I like that. I'm going to give it to James Maddison this week. He got a goal, he got two assists, but outside of that, by far, he was the best player on that pitch for Leicester, just impacting that game in every imaginable way you'd want your number 10 to impact a game. Linking up play, just very attacking, So James Maddison for me, really impressive for him. It's good to see him back in form as well.
Damn it, I was going to go for another Leicester player, but I don't know if we've ever done that before.
Yes, we have. We've had two Liverpool players.
I mean, I was going to give it to Tielemans because he got a brace in that game.
And then Abdi in the mud as well.
Yeah, Abdi in the mud in very good form. So yeah, I'm going to give it to Youri Tielemans.
Fair enough. I thought he was going to come in there, but he didn't. And Tommy, an honorary Man of the Week nomination.
Well, I was going to go Jorginho as well, but I'm going to give it to Sterling. Joining the Premier League 100 club. Great servant for City. And it was stepped up. Big penalty. Rolled it down the middle. Got the 3 points. Can't complain. So fair enough. Definitely Sterling.
Cool, cool, cool. Well, that ends our episode for the week, unless anyone has anything else. Abdi?
No, thanks for joining, Tommy. I heard you're a permanent replacement.
Now, for real, thank you, Tommy, for joining us.
Same time next week, Abdi. Bye-bye.
It's a pleasure to have, like, the Chelsea... I mean, pleasure is a bit of a strong word.
Yeah.
All of us here are probably not the biggest Chelsea fans, but we've never had the Chelsea perspective. So thank you for coming on.
Thank you for having me. Shout out
Ifs and Buts as well.
Yep.
Thank you. Great podcast.
And we should keep the collaborations going because we've been talking about it for a while and then obviously COVID hasn't helped, but yeah.
No, definitely. Thank you for having me on, man. Love it. Listen most weeks. Put it on the weekend. Actually, Dano did the last one for my flight home on Friday.
Nice.
we love it.
Sat on the plane listening, so yeah.
So he's all caught up.
Love that.
So we'll see you on the next exciting episode of We'll Talk About That Later.
Woo! Sports Social Podcast Network.